Welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. I am Koji Benton Williams. The VA Tourism Podcast is dedicated to Africa's travel and tourism industry, where leaders from the private and public sectors get to talk to us. You can subscribe to this podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn, and Google Podcasts. This episode is the final leg of my conversation with finalists of the UNWTO Inspiration Brand Africa Challenge. Naledi Kabo of US-based African Tourism Association and Tria Govenda, the lead for the Creative Collective of South Africa and Kenya. The duo is excited to be part of the challenge and are willing to share their expertise with Africa's tourism stakeholders as the continent works towards the African Renaissance agenda. The Inspiration Africa Branding Challenge is an initiative of the World Tourism Organization in collaboration with CNN International to help reshape the perception of travelers to the African continent. So welcome to the VA Tourism Podcast. And today I have been joined by Naledi Kabo of African Tourism Association and then Treya Govenda from the Creative Collective. So these two ladies are part of the finalists for the UNWTO Brand Africa Challenge. And so a week today, we will see the winner. But ahead of that, we want to have a conversation with them. And this is the final leg of the conversation. I had earlier conversation with six of the team. And so without much ado, Naledi, let me bring you in and tell me about, introduce us to your campaign or your page.
Thank you. I'm representing the Africa Tourism Association. Now, the organization is here based in the U.S. and has a history of promoting tourism to and within Africa. That's our core mission. And so as part of this challenge, we tapped into our partners, which include strategists, agencies, and networks, both here in the U.S., across Europe, and of course, across Africa, to develop the Africa We Are One campaign. As part of our campaign, what we did first is just sort of really look at some key challenges. Of course, that's COVID, market share, awareness and accessibility, lack of diversification, tourism leakage. And for each of those sort of key challenges, we thought about, you know, what are some proposed solutions? How do we deal with the lack of awareness? How do we deal with, from a narrative perspective, the perspective the general public has in terms of Africa and reclaiming that narrative? I think what happens with a lot of times when people think of solutions for Africa, it's like they're coming in to fix things. And despite my very American accent, I'm South African born, US raised, but I grew up in a very Pan-Africanist household. So I know that Africa already has the talent and the assets it needs. And so it's just a matter of really creating an infrastructure to manage the campaign, because we came into it first thinking about, this is a campaign, we're going to create a creative campaign to really highlight, you know, everything that Africa has to offer. But then I took a step back and thought about what we really need to do is to create an infrastructure that is anchored by a data-driven strategy and methodology so that we can scale this solution and it can be applied across the continent or deconstructed and customized for a specific region or destination. At the core, the creative campaign component of it, of course, is about collaborating with diverse African creatives and producing human-oriented content, you know, and a key component of that is unifying the diaspora. We have, you know, significant relationships with the global diaspora in terms of highlighting Africa as a destination that offers, you know, dynamic opportunities for connection and culturally transformative experiences across art and culture, heritage, okay, tradition. Sorry, I can go on and on.
No, that's fine. I mean, that's why I have the conversation. Now I have two of you, so you have a bit of more time. That's fine. So we will come back. We'll come back to the your campaign. I think is Africa We Are One and all of that, so we can go into the nitty-gritty of it. But Treya, now so Treya is the lead for the Creative Collective, and it is South African and Kenyan based entity, if I may say. But I'll leave that one to you, for you to tell us more about your campaign as well. And sure, what's the inspiration for you? What motivated you to get into this challenge?
So firstly, just to introduce the Creative Collective, like you said, we are represented by both young creatives, strategic wranglers, people from the marketing and advertising field in both Kenya and South Africa. The group was actually put together, two of us, myself and a gentleman by the name of Brian Njagi, who is a Kenyan citizen, had previously done some work, a similar sort of piece of work for the African Union. That's how we met, and we came together around this particular challenge and brought in others that we have had the pleasure of working with in both our countries to form the Creative Collective. So we are a multidisciplinary group or collective, both of strategists, creatives, as well as some specialist skills like experiential marketing. And our campaign is really rooted in a philosophy, a shared philosophy that all of us had within the Creative Collective. And that philosophy is really that we believe Africans should own and shape the narrative about our homes. And this ownership is really critical to positively shifting stereotypes and expanding global perceptions about travel on the continent and really positioning it as a world-class destination. We really believe that going beyond the stereotypes about travel in Africa, which are often rooted in sort of this one-dimensional view of safaris and wildlife and nature, really going beyond these stereotypes creates new opportunities for local tourism-related businesses, and in so doing, can stimulate the growth of the industry as a whole. So that was really the philosophy that guided the creative work. And our campaign sort of concept rationale was really to expand what we believe and know to be quite a narrow view that international tourists have of Africa. Expand it beyond this confined view of wildlife and natural landscapes, and really show them that we've got an offering that's so much richer, so much more diverse than this. You know, the continent, travel on the continent also offers tourists luxury, Epicurean delights, experiences of diverse, ancient, rich histories and cultures, and dynamic city and nightlife. And, you know, it's often overlooked in much of the story about travel on the continent. So we wanted to design a campaign that showed international travelers that Africa has more to offer, and we invite them to come home to Africa. It is the birthplace of civilization, and we really wanted to tap into this notion of home, which is quite complementary to the idea of travel, where, you know, home means feeling welcome and relaxed, comfortable and content, and represents this easy enjoyment and belonging that we want all tourists to the continent to feel. So that's really a little bit about us, the philosophy that's guided our campaign and our campaign concept rationale.
But okay, so let's stay a bit longer on that. How do you then use this campaign, Africa the Home of More, to stimulate interest and, if you like, bring people on you know, to focus or shift their perception about the continent in terms of travel or using travel?
So quite central to our campaign and the components of the campaign that we have proposed is local content creation. So really using locals, and these are, you know, not just your sort of influencers, to use a buzzword, but, you know, locals that enjoy their cities and enjoy their homes and sort of travel as local travel as well, to really integrate them into the campaign's content. So a central component to the campaign is our below the line application, which is a digital app, and within this the content is curated by locals. So we have travel itinerary suggestions, for example, that are actually curated by local people, so that when tourists are exploring or planning their trip, they're not just limited to, you know, the popular destinations like Victoria Falls or you know, Table Mountain and Robben Island, that they're really getting a sense of like what it means to travel the continent like local people do. So we kind of like letting them into our homegrown best kept secrets. And that's quite fundamental to our campaign, is to integrate local perspectives around places to see, things to do, and also in so doing, exposing local tourism businesses that wouldn't traditionally get exposure. You know, usually the businesses that get exposure are the ones that are attached to these bigger name destinations, and those are a few. You know, so we want to really diversify and expand that out so that, you know, the local best kept secrets, which might be, you know, a smaller restaurant in the lesser known side of town, getting exposure and getting traffic to their business and support for their business. So that's how we really wanted to, that's one of the things that we've been quite focused on doing, is integrating local voices in order to shift the narrative and broaden the perspectives on what travel in the continent means.
Okay, Triano, thank you so much for that elaborate, overview of your project. Now, lady, now, one area or one issue that has come up when it comes to Brand Africa or shaping the perception about Africa's offering is the fact that sometimes when we are putting these campaigns out, we tend to place emphasis on inbound or, if you like, international tourism, to the detriment of the dome, because Africa has over, let's say conservatively, 500 million potential travelers on the continent. And how then is African Tourism Association hoping to bring this not just limited campaign, in the eyes of the world from the source market, but making Africa and its people integral part of what you intend to shape with the Africa We Are One campaign?
Well, I think, first of all, from an ATA perspective, the mission has always included, promoting tourism within the continent and cross-regional, transcontinental tourism. So, and I think traditionally it's been primarily just for business reasons and things like that. But what you're seeing is there's a shift over time with the growing young middle class that are more interested and more apt to explore the continent before they go to Europe or before they go to, say, Dubai or the US. And so I think tapping into that is important. I think a similar theme, even what Tria touched on, is that our campaign is rooted in Africa. It's rooted in African creatives. It's rooted in African ambassadors, because no one knows any African destination better than those that live there. And I think that that's a mistake that's been made in the past. If you look at a lot of destinations, or you look at their marketing campaigns, it's obviously clearly steered to attracting European and American audiences, and that's clear in their marketing assets. So I think that by, one, rooting the campaign in Africa by African creatives with African strategists as part of the team, we're already incorporating, the core and the essence of what Africa has to offer. And even when we're partnering with organizations that aren't necessarily based in Africa, they are rooted in Africa. For example, there's an organization that sort of takes that very model of, African tastemakers, letting them in. Where are they going? What are they doing? Because those are the type of things that even international travelers want to do, let alone other Africans who are exploring other destinations. And so I think we've made a very concerted effort, even in the structure of the team and in the production of the content, to focus on African assets. And I think that that's the problem when we talk about the narrative a lot. Something that I don't like to hear is, we need to change the narrative. I think that even thinking about that, it's sort of reactive from a Western perspective. It's like, no, we need to reclaim our own narrative. Africa has plenty of positive and amazing stories around innovation and culture and all of that. It's just, they're not amplified. So I think the key is to sort of amplify the existing stories and then create new stories that are engaging to all markets, not just, international markets. And I think what will be surprising is that even the international markets will respond very favorably to a very Africa-centric campaign and messaging.
Okay, no, excellent. And yeah, so one area that I'm looking to, of course, this was a challenge, and I think we need to, thank the UNWTO for putting such a campaign, and just to also point out that Brand Africa and the marketing of the continent in terms of tourism and the general thing have been part of the 10-point agenda that was adopted in Russia during the General Assembly. So it's a commitment that they want to use tourism as well to shape, the narrative of the continent and also try, you know, to attract and position the continent in the minds of potential travelers wherever they are coming from. But aside of the challenge, Treya, how do you see the thing? Because for me, 10 of you for the finalists, I think you are winners in your own right. But then again, you realize that tourism has not been the sector that has been given attention globally in terms of tourism, what it does, etc. Now, moving forward, beyond the challenge, do you have in mind what are some of the things that you think you can do from your, you know, from your team's perspective or what you've seen? Because conceptualizing this whole idea, I suspect a lot of things have come up, and I wanted to pick your thoughts on how you're looking at this project, beyond the challenge as a competition, about what you guys can do for the continent.
Yeah, so I think, you know, this challenge is something that is has a time and place for now, but there have been local tourism businesses across the continent that are starting to do much of what both Naledi and I think we share a similar view in this, our teams share a similar view in sort of like taking ownership and really owning the narrative about travel on the continent. There are many organizations that are already sort of on this path and investing it. One organization that like springs to mind, it's a woman that I went to high school with, and she started a tourism company called the Zulu Nomad. And it's very much, you know, about doing this sort of work, like really exposing tourists to a side of Africa that isn't well known by the international audiences. So I think that beyond this challenge, it's really about working with these organizations that are already doing the work, that they're already, they've already taken the bull by the horn, so to speak, and are driving the tourism agenda on the continent, and using our skills as communicators, as creatives, designers, strategists, experiential marketing experts to amplify what these organizations, these tourism businesses are already doing. That's certainly something that the team at the Creative Collective has been doing. That's sort of how we connected to this challenge to begin with, because it's, you know, the tourism space is a space that we've all worked in some shape or form in the last few years. So I think beyond the challenge, it's really using the skills that we have to amplify the work of tourism businesses like the one I mentioned. I also think the other aspect to it is to really focus on young people. Africa has a demographic dividend, and that's the power of the continent, I think, in terms of growing its economy, really sort of setting Africa up for success in the longer term, is really to tap into the power of the youth. And the tourism space is something that just so naturally lends itself to, you know, young people's involvement. We see it already in how many of these tourism businesses and even, you know, influencers that are creating social content are all young people, and they're definitely driving the narrative and shifting, you know, driving the agenda, the tourism agenda. Young people very much have a focus on experiences, more so than I think any other previous generation. You know, the youngsters of today are focused on experiences, and travel is about experience. So I think it's again also, you know, lending our creative skills to, you know, these young people that are already doing great work in the space, and there are plenty. I could list a whole bunch, but I don't want to punt. I don't want to punt too many, you know, too many businesses. But yeah, there's plenty of inspiration. We drew on a whole lot of inspiration from guys and girls that are doing it already in answering this challenge. So yeah, that's how I would extend it beyond the challenge, is really to lend support to what's already being done in the industry.
Excellent. Okay, yeah. Can I ask you? Okay. Yes. Okay. No. Add before I come to my regular question to you.
Okay. I just wanted to sort of piggyback on what Tria was saying, that even in terms, what I've noticed, you know, there's similar themes, right? And I'm assuming that as top 10 finalists, we all probably, there's a lot of overlap, but there's a lot of distinguishing characters. So what I would hope too is that moving forward, I've either worked with or talked about working with at least two other finalists that made it to the top. So I hope that that shows that we have some good discernment just in terms of selecting partners. And I think realizing that so many different companies and organizations bring different things to the table, I hope that as we talk about like collaboration and things like that, that's something else that we can take away from this challenge in looking at, you know, who some potential partners are to really deliver a solid solution for Brand Africa and the destinations across the continent. So I just wanted to say that.
No, that's that. I think you're right. I think you're very right on that. I mean, my question to you, you know, was how do you think what do you think, tourism board, stakeholders like the tourism board and the ministries can take advantage of a challenge like this in terms of the, because now you have 10 finalists and they are putting up different interesting campaigns that can drive or, you know, if you like, drive tourism. If you have some advice or the challenge that an African company, an African an individual would like to drive something with the tourism board, what are the challenges that you see? Because sometimes, often than not, in our own backyard, okay, there are people that can help drive it from what the national tourism is trying to do. But we tend to look outside. There's nothing wrong with it. We live in a global village, which is cool. But I'm saying that if I'm from the tourism board and I have 10, you know, finalists like this, how can I tap into it?
Well, I think, you know, looking at what everyone has laid out and how there's such a focus on cultivating, you know, local talent and local aspects, to me, that has to be an important tenet just in terms of what the tourism board's goals and objectives are. If they think back to how they're there to like uplift and support SMEs, how they're there to, you know, prevent tourism leakage and really support local businesses, I think if they're really paying attention to what's being laid out and how the campaigns are being executed, and, you know, I can't speak on everyone else, but just from what I've heard about Tria's, at the very least, I know that here are two different organizations that are worthy of consideration in a way they may not have considered otherwise. I know also a lot of tourism boards will use, you know, destination representatives that are based in Europe or that are based in America and sort of addressing their marketing objectives in their traditional sense. And I think now is a time that they really have to think about shifting and evolving the way that they've done business and think about what are new audiences also that they're being tapped into. I don't know that anyone would disagree that we can't continue to do things the way that we've been doing things. So maybe to a certain extent, COVID has been a little bit of a blessing in terms of opening up minds to consider other methods. And I think because we've sort of been rubber stamped as finalists as part of the UNWTO challenge, that will give us an elevated platform to engage with the tourism boards. You know, it's almost as if we've all been vetted to a certain extent. So now we've been vetted. So, you know, this is these are global organizations or global teams that have been vetted. Here are some new and fresh ideas. And so I think that that stamping from the UNWTO will help us move from this challenge to then go have the conversation, you know, carrying that behind our back, you know, gives us an opportunity to meet other players in the space that we can also think about, regardless of this competition, how can we partner together? So, you know, even some initiatives that we're working on, whether it's through the challenge or even through ATA, I can now tap into Tria as potentially, look, this is what we're doing. This seems aligned with some of the things that you laid out. You know, how do you feed into what we're doing, or how do we help support what you're doing? Because I think no matter what, we as an organization are going to support whoever the winner is. That's our mandate. And so I would hope that that's what we're all taking away from this, and that the tourism boards pay attention to what's being laid out and think about how are we doing things differently. Now is the time to do things differently. We've been talking about that, you know, over the last few years, and I think now is the time to actually act on it.
No, may I tap into
yes.
Coach, may I tap into something that
coming, of course, yeah, please.
Yeah. So this concept of endorsement from tourism boards, I think, is really important. It's important not only for the teams that are coming up as finalists in this challenge, but beyond that, endorsement of tourism-related businesses in country. When sort of these campaigns sort of like come to life in the markets that they are promoting. The businesses themselves, to have some level of endorsement from tourism boards, goes a long way to attract and give, I want to use the word credence, that's probably not the right word, but give credibility to local businesses that aren't always attached to these big name tourist destinations like yes. Robben Island or Vic Falls. Yep. You know, and I think those endorsements are quite important. I mean, one of the things that we within the campaign that we've pitched is really leveraging an endorsement by the UNWTO for local businesses. So it acts as a marker of credibility to international tourists who, you know, there is often a sense of like, fear is probably a strong word, but you know, unless they're traveling to South Africa or Kenya or Ghana, even mm-hmm. you know, some of the sort of smaller countries that have just as amazing tourism offerings don't always get the best rap from a security perspective. And I think by having endorsements from tourism bodies like the UNWTO goes a long way to driving development of the tourism industry in countries that are, you know, lesser known tourist destinations on the continent.
I agree with you 100%. Now, Tria, you know, just to stay with you a bit longer, in terms of, like I said, all the finalists are winners. I see that too. Out of 150, and the time and energy and the commitment in itself tells that, you know, these group of people are committed, you know, to the continent. But what are your expectations, and what do you think, from your own little corner, you can do beyond the challenge, you know, to support, you know, the Brand Africa challenge, and to help shape the narrative of the continent?
Well, I think I touched on it a little bit earlier, like as the creative collective, we hold a number of skills as individuals and as a collective that are very beneficial to raising awareness about local tourism related businesses, amplifying their offerings. And I think that's our commitment beyond this challenge as the creative collective, to work with you know, local organizations to help them amplify their offering. I mentioned one earlier, the Zulu Nomad, who we've already done the, you know, we've already had various conversations with them of how to, you know, promote their businesses. So I think, you know, we have to also make sure that we're playing to our strengths. And as marketers and people in the advertising industry, our strength lies in amplifying, you know, businesses, getting them, you know, out there, promoting them. And I think that's where we will continue to invest our skills and resources beyond this challenge. It's something we're already doing. It's something we wish to do going beyond this. And I think just being advocates for local tourism. And I'm quite passionate about giving the let's call them the underdogs or the small guys as much of a shot at gaining traffic, tourism traffic, as the sort of well-known tourist destinations.
I think that's fair, because if you do that, then what you're doing is that then you're trying to democratize the spend, if you like, and inclusion, you know, because often than not, sometimes the big companies, of course, we need the big companies, but they lose sight of, you know, the people on the ground, the SME. So I really also have that aim of you know, supporting companies like that.
Just on that point, you know, that's sort of why we went into this as the creative collective. You know, those big tourist destinations that are managed and run by big organizations, they've got the traffic coming to them. You know, I almost feel, not that they don't need support, but I almost feel like if you really want to grow the industry and unlock the potential of tourism, for the economic prosperity of the continent, you have to look at the smaller guys as well. Yeah. And you have to look at how you can bring them into the fold and really help them amplify their offerings to an international tourist community. So like that's something we're quite passionate about, because otherwise you just kind of funnel the money and the resources and the traffic, the tourism traffic, to, you know, the places that are already getting it. And I don't think that is in service, you know, that really grows the industry at all. Yeah.
No, that's fine. And what we will commit to do in terms of Voyage Afrique is to be able to help, entities as such as yourself to also promote what you guys are doing. We can write for our followers to understand and, you know, connect with your team. Now, Lady, from the ATA point of view, okay, I know that you have responsibility of bringing all these other groups together under your umbrella. Now, in going forward, what would ATA do, for the continent, for the African renaissance, like we call it now, and, you know, either reclaiming the narrative or reshaping the narrative? What is it that we can be assured that ATA will bring beyond this challenge?
I mean, I think we're going to continue to do what we were doing in terms of being dedicated to all of the things you listed, but more specifically, some of the things that we included in our challenge, we're already working on. So winner or not, we're going to continue to develop the platforms we talked about. Winner or not, we are going to, you know, use the platforms that we're developing and we have across the continent. We're going to how we can leverage the African diaspora, the global African diaspora, across Africa, here in North America, and in Europe especially, because they are actually, I think, when looking at outside audiences, the most untapped, and they have such a potential, especially when you think about their $63 billion spending power, which I think is actually an underestimation. And they want to connect to the continent in ways they haven't before. You know, I think it is part of that African renaissance, and partially because of politics, you know, whatever the case may be, they're looking to connect to Africa more than ever. And who they want to connect with are the very companies that even Trio was talking about. It's the small and local businesses. They don't want to give their money or support to sort of the global conglomerates, right? Mm-hmm. They really want to support, you know, keep the money in the country with the small businesses, with the individuals. They want to connect with the creatives, with the tastemakers. Those are the very things that both Africans on the continent are looking to do and the diaspora out of the continent are looking to do. So, you know, we are already in the process and will continue to manage relationships we have with diaspora groups in the industry. Industry creatives who are looking to connect to the continent. We're creating marketplaces and the like to really help, collectively shine a light on businesses across the continent. And then we can use our platforms this side. We can use our agency partners and the like to amplify, you know, market presence and things like that. So that's happening no matter what. I think what will happen with the challenge, if we were to win, is it would give us a larger platform and we could help in a probably more formalized manner on a continental or a destination by destination basis. But we stay committed to executing everything that we have laid out. It just may take a longer amount of time if we're doing it sort of just in our traditional, you know, ATA construct.
Tria Govenda and Naledi Kabo of ATA and the Creative Collective, thank you for sharing your expertise with us, and I wish you all the best. And yeah, we can't wait to break the news of the winner. And I mean, like I said, you guys are winners in your own right.
Thank you, Kojo.